All right, this is Leading Off in the Low Country with Lillian and Matt. I am Lillian Starr of 95SX, and I'm here joined by the voice of the River Dogs, Matt Dean. How are you doing?
Good, good. Glad to be here and talking a little baseball.
Well, me too. And that's basically what we're doing here. We're just going to talk a little baseball. I'm an avid fan, but, you know, I just like to talk a little bit of MLB. And, of course, I will talk a little bit about the River Dogs because we are here in the Lowcountry. And, you know, I got headlines to talk about. You know, we've got undefeated teams. We've got teams that haven't won yet. But first thing, Matt, one thing I wanted to touch with you, mainly because it's been big, especially in the first week. We just finished our first week of Major League Baseball. We're finishing up almost a full week of Minor League Baseball. And this is more effective for the MLB kids, the basic or folks, I should say. They're not kids. The new slide rule. You spoke to me about this when we first met, and I had no idea. Now, if anyone doesn't know or know about this, there's a new slide rule where you can't really slide into like with the catcher, you can't slide into like the second baseman or shortstop that's covering second.
Right. Basically, the way I understand it, I mean, you can still slide in hard into the bag. It's just, you know, to the umpire's discretion. You basically can't go out of your way to slide towards a player when you know you're already going to get tagged out if the force out's been applied. You can't go out of your way, basically, to slide into, you know, either the second baseman or the shortstop, whoever's covering the bag, on a double play ball. And it's already come up, you know, big in a couple of games. The most notably, you know, last week sometime, the Blue Jays, it came up in a big game in the ninth inning where Jose Bautista was called out for it. So basically, you can just get automatically called out for sliding into a player now. And it's a new rule, and it's going to take some time to getting used to. I mean, kind of liken it to the collisions at home plate rule, but it's certainly a new change in the rules this season.
Yeah, you know, this rule came about because of Chase Utley during last year in postseason, yep, running in, or basically he broke his leg,
yeah,
or something. Ruben Tejada of the Mets, and this came about for player safety. Same with the catcher slide rule. And I'm all about player safety. As a former softball player, we were taught to run hard towards the position player. I mean, that was, and as the position player, as a former shortstop / second baseman, we were taught how to, you know, step on the bag or not to be on the bag, or how to step out of the way, or how to get out of the way, or to learn to brace yourself, because you were, that's just
right,
how you're taught. So, you know, in lieu of a broken leg, I understand. But my biggest concern, not necessarily with that part of the rule, is more of the part where, okay, the violators, you know, like Jose Bautista, who was called for interference, he was called out. Totally agree with that. But the batter runner, the guy who was at bat, he's also called out, mainly because of circumstance. And I was under the understanding that most double plays aren't necessarily, you know, guaranteed. So why call the runner batter out?
Yeah, it's really a tricky situation, I think. I mean, yeah, it seems a little ridiculous to give him the automatic double play. But, you know, at the same time, I think if you didn't do it, and you had, I think you would still encourage guys to basically slide hard into the guy covering the bag, because they know that if there's a chance for a double play, if they just take out that player, they'll just be called out. And then the runner at the plate, you know, wouldn't be called out as well.
So
it's almost, it's tough, but you know, I think that's, if that's the route Major League Baseball wants to take out, ultimately, you know, get rid of the takeout slide at second. I think that's kind of the way they have to go about it. Maybe you can argue there's a way to do it with player fines where you just call out the guy that does the slide, and maybe you fine them, but I don't know if that really gets the same effect like the two outs does.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, a fine on a player probably is not as harsh as two outs on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest, the way that the games end, though, there are two games, the Blue Jays and the Rays plus Houston. There was a Houston game and the Brewers.
Yeah.
That was when,
yep,
that happened, too.
It was in a big moment that game.
And,
yep,
and it was the same thing. It pretty much ended the game, and it's the only thing I guess I find disheartening is how the game ended. You know, one,
yeah,
out, all of a sudden you have someone, a controversial slide into second, but because, as you say, whatever the umpire deems, how he interprets it is what the call's on the field, but the runner being out is just very hard to take as a fan, and probably obviously as a player and coach, because how you've been trained.
So it is. I think in the ideal world, it's just, you're going to see the slide start to go away, and we'll hopefully see that less and less. But, I mean, that's the way it is for now, and there's a little bit of an adjustment period in,
yeah,
Major League Baseball.
There's definitely a learning curve. Everybody's going to learn it. But before we get to the River Dogs review, I just want to touch on it because I am a very superstitious fan. And we have two teams who have no wins in Major League Baseball as of today. And we have one team that I don't really want to mention is undefeated as of now, 6-0, and it is my Baltimore Orioles. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about the losing folks. No, I'm just kidding. The Braves. We're in Braves country, and I'm feeling really bad. I know it's a building year, but, I mean, gracious, you have these defensive lapses and just can't get the bats going in the latter half of the game.
Yeah, no, it's a tough year for the Braves. And I mean, you look at the roster, and it's a tough year for, I think, Braves fans, because you go out there and it's not like you have, maybe later in the season this will change, but I mean, at least as of now, it's not like there's a lot of prospects out on the field or young guys that are going to develop. It's the oldest roster in the big leagues coming out to start the year. It's just a lot of, you know, kind of replacement level guys just holding down the fort until the prospects, you know, guys like Dansby Swanson in the minors are going to make their way up. And there's something to look forward to down the road for the Braves, but you just don't really see much of it this year.
Yeah, they brought up Malik Smith, their center fielder, last night, mainly because they needed to.
Oh, yeah.
But, I feel bad for the Braves, and looking forward to them getting settled, basically, just trying to find their niche, because they start off the games fairly strong. It's just that they can't finish it out. I don't know if it's really – I'm not a big Braves fan, so I don't know if it's their pitching that's a big problem. I do know that their bats have been very quiet in the last, you know, last several innings of every game, even though they've been leading, I believe, on some of their games. So the other winless team are the Minnesota Twins.
No, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a surprise. I mean, you know, I heard a lot about the Twins last season, being around the Twin Cities area, working for the St. Paul Saints, and – yeah, a bit surprising. I mean, the Twins were nearly a playoff team a year ago.
Yeah.
They were overperforming a bit. I mean, if you looked at their run differential, it was, you know, well below into the negative. So they were kind of overperforming last season. They really didn't make a whole lot of offseason moves. I think they signed that free agent out of Korea, but basically just sat put otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, they have some good prospects coming up. I mean, you think Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano, who had great Sano had a great year last year. You think Buxton's going to, you know, develop in his first full season, and Sano take some steps forward. But, you know, otherwise, not really much to excite for the Twins. So it is a little bit of a surprise that they're 0-7 to start the year. And they did start out their first six games on the road.
And it's tough. Yeah, they did lose their home opener last night. But I'll be honest, it's early in the season. Anything can happen from here. You can start, even in football, you can start 0-6 and for some reason make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there's 162 games.
Especially in the American League. I mean, the Twins, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I think they could be in the hunt realistically down the stretch. Braves, I mean, same goes for my Brewers, too. I mean, there's teams that you can, I think, pretty much rule out at this point in the National League, and I think the Braves and the Brewers as well fall into that category. But that's not to say that the Braves, just because they started 0-7, are going to finish with the worst record in the National League.
I don't think they would. I'd like to think that they actually have a little bit in them to get themselves out of the cellar. I mean, it's still very early in the season. We've gone through almost a full week, so we still have many games to go.
Yep.
So we're here at the Joe, and we just saw them pull the tarp out, and I'm excited because I was listening to River Dogs Baseball and hearing your wonderful voice and all these nail biter bottom of the ninth kind of games just killing me. I mean, you know, as a baseball fan, I can't take it. My heart is too weak to deal with it. And a no-hitter, all these games. I mean, I guess last night was a big bore for you because it was just, oh, we just won 4-0. But, you know, I mean, how's it been so far? It's been almost a week.
Yeah, it's been surreal. I mean, this is my first year as the number one, and your first basically four games, you know, as the number one broadcaster, you get three walk-off wins and a no-hitter. So, yeah, last night was a little bit of a snoozer, but it was good to see, you know, the River Dogs get back on track, finally get a solid pitching performance. They hadn't had a starter go more than five innings till Kerner, the Clemson guy, last night, went seven strong, struck out nine, so he was solid. Yeah, River Dogs, I mean, they've found ways to win, which is impressive, but they're going to need to pick up the bats a little bit, and the starting pitching especially, you know, hasn't been great up until last night. So they're actually 13th in the league in batting and ERA going into play last night, but had a 3-1 record and turned around last night, and now they're 4-1.
And we have to mention the no-hitter was not
from
us. We actually were the victim of the no-hitter. It was during the Fireflies, correct?
Yeah, so just the third game in Fireflies history, and they get their first no-hitter.
Yeah.
A combined team no-hitter from three different pitchers. That was, you know, something to behold as well. You mean, obviously I don't want the River Dogs to get no hit ever, but it was certainly an exciting moment, you know, as a broadcaster to see some history.
All right, well, we'll look out for those players, and we'll be listening to you tonight, WTMA 1250, the Big Talker. And thank you so much for joining me. This was Leading Off in the Low Country. I'm Lillian Starr. That was Matt Dean, and thank you so much for listening.